probably 6 to 8 months ago, if Brother Allen would speak tonight. He's not called to preach, but he's our music minister at the church, and God has blessed him with wisdom and teaching, and he's been studying the area of music. And I believe that one of the great dangers in our home is that in the area of music. And it can easily slip, and the devil can use it. And I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to let him speak to us. He is, after I've talked to him, he has, me and him been praying together for this and kept in close contact. And he shared with me what he's going to be speaking on tonight. He's going to have a challenge. And I encourage a church to consider this challenge tonight and to pray about participating in it. I believe it would be good for us. And I just want you to know before he comes that I think it's a good thing. So, get your Bibles out. I encourage you to take notes tonight. This is a question a lot of people have, and Brother Allen's going to speak on it tonight. So, Brother Allen, you come.
Well, while I'm getting wired up here, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Tonight of how to tell if music is good or bad. That's one of the questions that came through. Okay, I think this works. Okay. Well, that's one of the questions that came through our answers to questions, and it didn't take me 6 months to compile everything. It took me 6 months to put it all into one message. Usually I teach this, it's like a 13-week course, and it's got all kinds of information, so I'm going to try to do it in about 40 minutes. So let's read our text, and then we'll pray, and we'll get going here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use me now. Lord, I pray that I would not say anything you don't want me to say. Lord, I pray that you would use these lips to say only the information you want said tonight. I just place myself in your hands. I pray that everyone here would listen with an open mind and open heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually when you have somebody come in, or the music minister is to give a message on music, it's time to duck behind the pulpit in most churches. But I thank God that in the 10 years that I've been here that I've really seen the church grow in music. Even myself, I've learned things along the way. And I thank God for the stand that we have here. And I praise God that I'm a part of a church that believes that. But in our text verse tonight, we see that we have to do something here in order to discern good and evil. Now, we heard messages by Brother Carr and Pastor Burke on obedience and separation. Music falls under the categories of that. There may not be a verse that says, you know, this type of music is wrong, don't listen to it. There isn't a verse that says that. It says music that we should listen to, and we'll see that as we go on. But it falls under the category of living a separated life for God, being obedient to Christ, thinking on things that Christ wants us to think on. We see in this verse that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, not everybody is going to be able to swallow everything I give you tonight. It's just the fact that some are more mature in the Lord than others. Some have just been saved. Some of you all are growing about middle age, and some of us, and, you know, maybe some even older than me. But the maturity level in the Lord is different here. So you may not grasp everything I say, but even babies, you see babies gum on things, they can get some kind of nourishment out of it if they just gnaw on it a little bit. So we go on down to the bottom of the verse. It says, "Who by reason of use, having their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil." Now tonight we're going to take a look. How many like to go on diets? Not too many. Okay. Well, this is a different kind of a diet. Okay. This is the diet of the mind. What you feed your mind. Our mind is fed through the gates of our senses. It's important to know that everything that we see, hear, smell, taste, or touch goes into a computer in our brain. It records everything, even split-second things, to where an image that you see, even if, let's say you're watching television, and a bad image comes on and you go to hit the remote, it's already in your mind. Okay? That's how quick it is. That's how complex God created us. So we have to be on guard because we don't want to put stuff in our mind that Satan can take and use to snare us down the road. He uses the things that we've stored in our brain. So we have to be careful. And our thoughts, of course, come from what we've stored in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5, I'll just read this for you. We got a lot of scripture to look at, so I'll read a few to you. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And also in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The things we think about is what we're going to be. We should be careful then what we put into our minds through our senses. Okay? It's interesting that they use the term exercise. We've got to work at it. Exercise is work, believe me. It's not fun to exercise. I've been trying to start exercising again for 3 months, and it's not easy. But it's something that we have to determine to do. Okay? We have to ask ourselves in everything, is this pleasing to God? I'll put my glasses on so I can see you. If you start looking at me weird, I'll just take them off so that I can't see what you're doing. Anyway, we have to say, is it pleasing to God? Ephesians 5:10 says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." We are to prove things. Are they acceptable to God? Can we have that in the presence of God and be comfortable? Face it, people. Today we are bombarded. Every place we go, there's music playing. In the stores we go in. I work construction, so a lot of times there's music playing with the construction workers. And I tell you what, because before I was saved, I was addicted to rock music. That is still in my brain to this day. Just because I was saved does not mean it erased those memories or that music that I listened to. And Satan will try to defeat me. So there's got to be a plan to counteract that bombardment from the world. Pastor was talking about October being our home month. And I want to encourage you to keep your homes free from the world's music, because it will tear you down. I thank God that we started with our daughters teaching them very early in their lives what the right music was. I remember when they were just little kids, Sesame Street came on, and they started playing some rock music. They went up and turned it off. That's a small child can tell It's just mom and dad, we have to teach them. And I'm praying that this will help you, give you the information you need to help them do just that. But we have to get control over our homes and our cars. Our cars, a lot of times, it's just maybe you, yourself, going to work, and what's playing on the CD player? It's just you and God and the CD player. What are you listening to? Is it something that's going to get you through your day spiritually? Or is it something just to make you feel good because you got to go to work? Well, anyway, let's go on to the I call it the godly music diet plan. Okay, we're going to go on a music diet. So you all follow with me. We're going to ask four questions. I'll give you those four questions. That way, when I get to the end, the last one, you'll know when I'm about done. Okay. First one is, how did music get out of shape? Okay, you think, how did I get out of shape? I got to go on a diet. So how did music get out of shape? And then the second one is, what is bad for my godly music diet? Just like you would determine the food I'm eating is not good for me, I got to realize what's bad. Okay, number three is, what music is good for my music diet? And the last one is, how can I get into good, godly musical shape? Okay, let's get started first with, how did music get out of shape? Keep in mind that music, or godly music, has always been. And I say this because the scripture says in Psalms 118:14, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Also in Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. It says in both of these passages that the Lord is our song. He is music. And I'm going to go to the piano now and show you one little tidbit of why God is music, because of how He designed a chord. So come with me with the power of the microphone here. I'm probably going to need this microphone, so if it's still on. Okay, in a chord, there are three notes in a major chord, in a minor chord too, but we're going to focus with C major. It's C, E, and G. I'm sorry, that was wrong. C, E, and G. Okay? Now, all those notes make up the chord of C major. All right? Now, what I'm going to do is take this finger and press down on the C key. All right? I'm going to take these two fingers and hit E and G at the same time. And by holding this note down, it lifts the damper off of the string. Okay, so the C string is open. There's nothing to muffle it. What I will do by hitting these two notes, you will hear them vibrate in that string along with the C, proving that three notes in one string, we have three beings and one triune God. Okay, listen. Got to listen real close because I hope the mic's picking it up. But let me try it again. C is open. Here we go. I hope you can pick that up. Some may not be able to hear it, but all those notes vibrate in the one string, showing us that God is music. God designed it. It is part of Him. It is eternal. Now, where did it go wrong, though? Okay, God is in heaven. He decides, I'm going to create the angels. I'm going to create the cherubims and seraphims to worship me and to sing praises. He created one being in particular that He says has musical ability. And that was the anointed cherub, or Lucifer. I want you to turn to Ezekiel. We'll need to find Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. I'll start reading in verse 11. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." It's talking about Lucifer here. In verse number 13, it talks about the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. This is talking about the music ability that Satan has, that Lucifer has. He wanted to be worshipped like God. We see in Isaiah, if you'll turn to Isaiah now, chapter 14. Isaiah 14, verses 12 and 14 through 14 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." This was Satan's desire, to be like God. You notice that when he fell from heaven, it didn't say, "I took away your music ability." That's because he still has it. So we've got to believe that he's going to use every capability he has to steal the glory away from God, because he said, "I will be like the Most High." And there are people that worship him. We know that for a fact. We know they're Satan worshipers. And we're not ignorant to what he's trying to do. But his pride was the reason he was cast out of heaven. And then after this happens, God decides, let's create man. Genesis 1:27, he creates man. We see, because God is a Trinity, he said, let's make man in our image. He makes man a threefold being, a body, soul, and spirit. There's three parts of man. Now, because God is musical and we're created in his image, that makes us musical also. He has given into us musical ability. They've figured that probably 85% of musical ability is already there, and the other 15% has to be developed. Whether you are a musician to play an instrument or to sing, that 15% has to be developed. So we see that man is musical, and let's go down through the history of time here. Man falls because of his sin. The curse of death is upon him. Now he has to work for his food, and he starts to worship God his own ways. And we see that with the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was offering a sacrifice of the fruits and vegetables he grew instead of the lamb that was required to be sacrificed. And we saw that God did not accept that. We need to take this example of trying to do things our own way to worship God and apply it to today, that we need to do things acceptable to God and not just whatever feels good, whatever the world's doing, the crowd is doing. Years ago, when I got out of Bible college, we were speaking out against rock music. Now it's the norm in Baptist churches. Some Baptist churches have a rock and roll band as their music in the church. I never thought it would get that bad so quickly, but left unchecked and left unguarded, the monster can grow. And the monster is Satan himself trying to destroy the church that Jesus founded. Now we see that man, through this, became a murderer. Cain murdered his brother Abel. One of Cain's descendants was the first one that was recorded of making musical instruments. In Genesis 4:21, you can find that reference. His name was Jubal Cain. But sin-cursed man was looking for some comfort from his misery, the fact that he couldn't stay in the garden anymore. He had to work. And like I said, I work in construction. There's not very many that will work without noise going. So we are a society that needs noise. Now, Job saw these people in Job 21. Let's turn over there real quick. He talks about these people that we saw before the flood happened. Job chapter 21. Job 21, I'll start reading in verse 7. It says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in the moment they go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eye shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst?" We see a people here that everything's going good. They have no worries, no problems. They are prospering. but they're also taking music, making their children dance. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. Then they say to God, "Depart from us." They're a people that turn their back on God. These are the people we see before the flood. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." There's the thoughts again. God destroyed man with the flood to get rid of this evil. So now we have a chance to start over with Noah and his three sons. Now, his three sons, we know, became the three main races of people, which is Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And Shem, of course, is like Middle Eastern, Oriental, Indian. Japheth was Caucasian, European, Northern Asia. Ham was primarily Africa. The sin came back on the scene, although it never left because we're all sinners. But it finally showed itself with Ham and the sin he committed against his father. And there was a curse placed upon one of his sons. But let's look at the music that these regions that these sons populated just for a brief second here. We see that the descendants of Ham were Israelites, Arabs, Indians, Orientals, maybe part American Indian. Their music was primarily made up of melody. It was pretty simple, but it was pretty much made up of primarily melody. Now, Japhethites, anybody that's from England or somewhere in Europe is a Japhethite. They came over to America and settled America. Their music was composed of rich harmonies and complex musical arrangements such as the symphonies. Most of the great composers were of this line. If you think about how complex a symphony is to write, it takes a lot of training, a lot of talent to do that. But we see the line that came through Ham's race. Their music was mostly rhythm. They had Africa was called the Dark Continent, not because of their skin color. It was because of the evil that was there. They had ungodly rituals that they used drums for, and it's actually where the drum originated. We don't have time to get into the origins and a lot to do with that, but I think we all know that the drum is it's not found in the Word of God, so right there should say something. But let's go on through our history. As time passed, we see that Noah gave a blessing to his sons, and some have said this could be a prophecy of America. Genesis 9:26 and 27, it says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." So we see that Noah blesses his son, but remember through all this, Satan did not lose his musical ability and his desire to be worshipped. So we still have that going through time, through history. Music in America has degenerated. It's not gotten better. It's gotten worse. We see, let's just start with the symphonies. We go from the symphonies to the big band, to the swing, to jazz, to rock and roll, to heavy metal, to rap, which isn't music, by the way. It's just beat. So it's not music. To what they call techno-pop, whatever that is. And who knows what's going to be next. So we see it's just a degeneration of music that proves to my heart that Satan has his hand in that, because God intends for us to grow, to get better, to get more perfected or mature in the Lord. Satan is wanting to tear people down. Now, we have to beware of Satan's biggest lie to the Christian. You ready? Here's the lie. It doesn't matter what music you use to worship God. He doesn't care. That's what Satan has told, not verbally, but has placed in the minds of some of the most well-known gospel singers today. I could name it. I was going to name him, but I'm not going to, because this might be on the internet. And anyway, but beware of the gospel singing crowd. The ones you see on TBN, I'll just put that in there. They believe that music is amoral. That means has no morals. And there's a direct quote of one of the top people saying that. It's pretty funny how Christians can get caught up in that and believe a lie when we've got people who aren't even saved see that the music that they're using should not have any part with church music. It's amazing. And that's one verse I forgot to write down. But it states that the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So we've got to wake up, and if we've believed that lie, we need to change the way we think. You say, well, they've got good intentions. Well, so did Cain. I'm sure Cain went to that altar thinking, oh, I brought the best vegetables to offer my God, and I know he'll appreciate them. But he didn't. He didn't accept it. It has to be acceptable to him. Okay, that takes care of how it got out of shape. Now, let's see what is bad for my godly music diet. Well, music that appeals to the flesh is harmful to the spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, look at verse 16 and 17. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, we see that there's a war going on. It's between the spirit and the flesh. It's a war that we have every day of our lives. We wake up in the morning. Most of us, our flesh does not want to move. And I can relate to that. But we get up and we say, okay, I've got to spend my time with God. Your flesh fights you because you're tired. You're not awake yet or whatever. There's a constant battle. All day long, you battle between spirit and the flesh. Now, we have to be careful with the music that we listen to, that it doesn't cause us to give in to the flesh more than the spirit. Okay? This is one of the bad things for our godly music diet. Music that has too much rhythm. Now, I kind of liken this is there's some types of music that may not be so bad, but a steady diet of it is probably not healthy spiritually. And that's music that has a lot of rhythm. Now, the best way I can describe this is bluegrass music. I look at bluegrass music sort of like ice cream in a diet, a food diet. You can have it once in a while, but don't make a steady diet of it, or else you're going to get sick. If that's all you listen to, you're going to feel the effects of it. Listen to it occasionally, okay? In your music diet, once you get through the diet and you're down to the where you need to be, it can be listened to occasionally. But just be careful, because the beat, the rhythm in the beat, which I will show you in a few minutes here, has to do with what makes it right and what makes it wrong. Okay? Now, rhythm is essential to music. Okay? Don't get me wrong. Rhythm is essential just like your body is to your soul and your spirit. How many came to church tonight without their body? Raise your hand. I was going to say, if you came without your body, we're going to get out of here. Because all we have is a soul and a spirit. It's to be like salt is to food. Okay? You sprinkle a little salt on there, it enhances the flavor of what you're putting it on. Okay? Now, what happens if you eat too much salt? My doctor says don't eat a lot of salt because you're high blood pressure. So you're going to have bad health, okay, if you have too much salt. Too much rhythm makes your music unhealthy, okay? So let's take a minute here. The three parts of music are melody, harmony, and rhythm. That's the three parts of music. You have to have all three present to call it music, right? Now, it corresponds to the three parts of man, the body, soul, and the spirit, okay? Now, the melody is what speaks to the spirit, okay? The harmony speaks to the soul, and the rhythm speaks to the body, okay? So, keep that in mind as we continue on down through the message here. Because rhythm speaks to the body or the flesh, it is the element of music that Satan snares us with. It feels good. The flesh likes it. It's addictive. I know it's addictive because I was addicted to rock music before I was saved. And it is a constant battle every day. Like I said, I work construction. The guys at work play the oldies station. Well, guess what? I'm 47, and what they play on there was what I listened to. So it is a struggle every day I'm around it because Satan brings those songs back in my head. And I'm like, I got to get away from this, or I got to find a plan to get over this. Okay, that's coming. I'll be giving that to you shortly here. But it is addictive. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices." We've got to be aware of how he's going to snare us and what we can do to get rid of him. Now, we're going to talk about the beat of music. The beat is the key to determining if music is right and wrong or wrong. It's the first thing. If somebody says, "Brother Allen, would you listen to this and tell me if this is right or wrong?" The first thing I listen for is what beat is in the song. What kind of beat do we have? Now, God designed music in a way to where He shows us the proper beat rhythm through our beat, breathing and our heartbeat. Okay? You think, what's that got to do with music? Everything has a purpose. God's beat design is, take your hymn book, turn to 285. We're going to look at a song we sing quite often. "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Okay. Everybody look with me in what's called a measure. Okay. The words, "What a fellowship." You see the little line in the music? It's called a bar line. That divides the measure. The measure in this song is built on 4-4 time, which means there's four beats in the measure. Now, each note has a different numerical sequence to where those notes that are in that measure add up to four beats. Okay? Now, the accent in the beats is crucial. Okay? God's design in a 4-4 measure is the first beat and the third beat are accented. "What a fellowship, what a joy divine." That first beat of that measure is accented. "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. The strong beats are 1 and 3, okay? That happens to imitate your breathing, okay? When you breathe in, you fill your lungs up with air. When you let it out, you let out the air. That filling up represents the accent or big. And then breathing out is small, is the weak beat. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, let's flip it over. This is Satan's design. This is called anapestic or the backbeat. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. See, he's completely flipped it backwards. He's going against God's design in your breathing. It's throwing your body into, it's going against what your natural beat is of your breathing. It's throwing your body into a tumult, I guess you'd say, to where it's going against what nature is trying to do. Now, we look at a song with 3/4 time. Turn to 337. 337. Trust and obey. Okay, go to the first full measure, which is walk with the. Okay, in this song we have some pickup notes, which are the when we. So it would go, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory. The accent is on the first beat of that measure. Okay? So God's beat on this is, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Okay? That's God's design. That imitates our heartbeat. The heartbeat has a strong beat, a weak beat, and a rest, which is considered a weak beat. So it's designed on a 3/4 or a 3-beat pattern. Now, Satan's design, flip it completely backwards, just like he likes to do. He likes to counterfeit everything but defile it. We call it the rock beat. It's I'm sure if you all have had a rock music background before you got saved, you've heard that beat in your life. And I will tell you that that beat right there is what they call demons forth with. It has been documented. I don't have time to go through everything for that. That's in the 13-week class. But the accent of the beats are where we should watch for. You can learn to count them, just like I had to learn. It's not hard. It just takes exercise. It can be played on any rhythm instrument. And you say, what's a rhythm instrument? Well, the drum is one thing, one rhythm instrument. It's also categorized in the percussion instruments. But a piano can also be considered a rhythm instrument. A guitar and a bass guitar. These can be played, even a mandolin. A mandolin can be played with the wrong type of beat. We just have to be careful how it's being played. Now, the next thing we want to deal with is vocal techniques of singers. They can be used to promote sensuality. Now, I'm sure I've heard... At one point or time, you go in a Christian bookstore and you hear a female singer singing in a breathy voice, just real soft and breathy. It's a sensual sound. My wife told me, she says, one time we were listening to an example, she says, if she was here singing that to you, I'd be very upset because, you know, she should not be getting into my close-up zone by her singing. And that's what she's doing with a breathy voice. But there's guys that do that too. But that's one technique that professional singers are doing and unprofessional singers are imitating, trying to sound like their favorite singers. Okay. The next one is the slurring of pitch, or what we call scooping. Before I go into any more, I believe in what I call the doctrine of absolutism. And that is, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, he was absolute. There was like, oh, you can come also through this way or that way. No, he was absolute. So let's keep our melody that we sing, let's keep it as pure and simple as we can without throwing in notes that don't belong there or pitches that we could hit that pitch because we end up sliding up to it. We might as well just hit it, okay? So the slurring a pitch is what's called scooping. Flipping is totally kind of out of control, flipping around the intended note and then finally hitting it. I don't know if anybody knows who B.J. Thomas is. He was a singer. But he was notorious for this. It's like, is that guy ever going to hit that note? But that's what flipping is. It's hitting all around the intended pitch and then finally hitting it. And then we have what's called delayed vibrato. They hit a note smooth, you know, and it's no vibrato, and then at the end they have vibrato. Vibrato is the quiver in the voice when you sing. It happens naturally when, you know, when you're trained to sing, it happens naturally when your voice is relaxed. But this is an intentional thing, okay? And I'll tell you the reason why they do all these things after I give you the last one. Singing unnecessary notes to show the vocal talents of singers. This kind of fits in between flipping and slurring of the pitch, but it's done very intentional. Now, all of this is done to say, hey, look at me. Look what I can do. Instead of saying, look what Christ did for us and just sing to him. You know, don't be worried about impressing people with your singing ability. Now, true, God has talented some people with singing ability, and some may not have that, but they still want to sing for God. And we should not discourage that ever. Now, the next thing that is bad is listening to music as entertainment. You cannot listen to music as entertainment. I'll tell you why. The word amusement, the root word of the word amusement is amuse. Muse means to think. You put an A in front of it. Amuse means not to think. Now, we know for a fact that you cannot listen to music and not think about something. There has been studies done on brain waves. When you listen to music, all four quadrants of your brain light up when you listen to music. So that means your brain is pretty active, I would think. And you're putting into your brain then a message. Is it a godly message or is it a worldly message? That's what we have to determine by the music that we listen to. This is why music is used in advertising. Okay? Now, McDonald's has changed their song I don't know how many times, but I remember as a kid, you deserve a break today at McDonald's. Okay? I remember it because of the song. You deserve a break today at McDonald's. Okay? They put it to music so you would remember it. Okay? Because they know the power of music. Christians, we need to know the power of music and to realize that Satan is trying to destroy our Christian life through music if we let him. Now, let's go on to question number 3. What music is good for my music diet? Music that makes you think of heavenly things is the first one. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I've got to go quickly. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we're to think on. We need also music that is free from worldly influences, which we talked about, the wrong beat, sensual singers, or too much rhythm. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's turn there real quick. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll read it when I get there, just for the saving of time. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we also see in Psalm 40, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Why did he say many shall see it and not many shall hear it? Because if we do have that new song in our mouth, and the praise unto our God that it says we're to have, it's going to make a difference in the way we present ourselves to other people. They'll see it and say, there's something different about you. And it's because we haven't, once we get this, this in our brains that the music that we listen to makes a difference in how we live our lives for God, then we're going to see that people will notice a difference. Now, music, we need to look at what music is good for our music diet. Music that will heal and restore a right spirit. In 1 Samuel 16, verses 15 through 23, I want you to turn there. 1 Samuel 16, I know I'm going a little long, but I want you to see this. 1 Samuel 16, this is where sometimes we forget just what music can do for us. Verses 15 through 23, it says, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Let's drop down to verse 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. We see a therapeutic reaction to this music. The word that we see here about the music is the word Zimrath. Is a Hebrew word that means an instrumental music. There is a message that you get from just the music. It speaks to your soul. It speaks to your spirit. It can make your body feel refreshed when it has the controlled rhythm. Don't miss the point here. A lot of times we think music that's got a fast tempo and a fast rhythm to it makes us feel good. But what you're doing is making your flesh feel good, but you're leaving your spirit and your soul alone. You need the music that's going to refresh you physically and mentally and spiritually all at once. And that, to me, is telling me here it's instrumental music. You're taking out of the element of a singer singing a song. Listen to the music and let it do the thing that the Bible says that it did for Saul. So we see also that music that praises God, and when the vocals are present, meaning there's a singer and is doctrinally sound. There's a lot of times that we'll change words in a song to make it doctrinally sound, and I'll tell you why in a second. But it says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." To admonish someone is to reprove or to warn. Songs that talk about, why not now, why not now, why not come to Jesus now. Songs that we would sing at an invitation are to warn, to admonish the sinner to trust Christ. Music that has all of the above that we've spoke about with a strong predominant melody. The melody, as we stated, speaks to the spirit. We see in Ephesians 5:19, let's turn there real quick. I want you to see it from the New Testament too. Ephesians 5:19. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." It also talks in Isaiah 51:3 about the voice of melody. Write that reference down. I'll look that up later and see what it says about melody. So we see that in John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, talks about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. For sake of time, we won't turn there, but it talks about we worship God in spirit and in truth. Okay, a song of worship then has to be melody plus doctrinally sound lyrics, because that's the truth. If you aren't doctrinally sound in the lyrics, then it goes against the Bible. It's not truth anymore. So if it's doctrinally sound lyrics plus the melody, it equals a song of worship, just like when we worship God equals spirit plus truth. Okay. So harmony then comes into play. It promotes peace and not contention. Harmony should always resolve in a song to a peaceful ending. If one of our piano players came up here and played a song, got down to the last chord and stopped, you all would be like, oh, come on, play that last chord. See, it's our body naturally wants to hear it resolve to that peaceful ending, that where it should end, okay, in a song. So we need melody that speaks to the spirit, harmony that promotes the peace of God, and then rhythm that is controlled and used to give life or flavor to the melodies. Okay? Now, the last one. Here's what y'all been waiting for. And I'm sorry it's taken so long to get here, but I really tried to get it all in. How can I get into good godly musical shape? Well, it's back to Hebrews 5:14. It's that exercise thing. Okay? You say, well, what are we going to do? Lift weights with our mind? How can we do that? Well, in a way, we are. Music is detected by our senses of sight, hearing, and touch. And if record producers could find a way, I'm sure they'd throw smell and taste in there too somehow. But if you think about it, the devil has really, he not only has the music sounding bad, but with a video and the music, you get an image that you see, plus you're listening to it. That's a double whammy on your senses and on your mind. So we've got to guard our eyes. We've got to guard our ears. And through our touch, there's vibrations that we can pick up through music. So here's the diet plan. Okay, I'm going to give you the musical diet plan. Anybody that's wanting to participate in this, you have to go home, take all the music in your house. I know this is going to sound crazy to some of you maybe. Take all the music that you have in your house and put it in a box. Put it in a closet. Okay? This is going to be a 3-month process. So you have to really be serious about this to do this. Next, you have to make sure that you set time aside for a walk with God every day. If you don't, you're going to fail at this diet, okay, this music diet. You must have a walk with God to be able to discern good and evil. Now, you need, the only thing you're allowed to listen to, unless you're a choir member, choir members, you have 2 CDs I gave you for choir purposes only, okay, but all other listening to music in the home, or in the car, or at work. I'll give you something if you have a computer at work that will help you. But we have a CD in the bookstore. And it's not, I did not produce this, so I'm not, don't think I'm trying to advertise it. But I came across this in the bookstore, and it's very good. It's called Meditations for Orchestra. It's a bargain rate, $5 a copy per family. What you need to do is take this, and the best time to listen to this is when you get home from work, maybe just before bed, so your dreams are not tainted by the world, okay? You've got to exercise your senses in order to tell good and evil, okay? So you've got to get the world out of your mind, okay? Trust God's word that the evil will depart. And I'll tell you a little something. I've put this to work for a specific reason, in the fact that every time I have taught the subject of music, Satan has tried to discourage me on just anything. I mean, whether it was family, you name it, he's tried to discourage me from teaching this thing. Why? Because he's a musician. He doesn't want the truth to get out. He's got too many people, too many Christians blinded to the fact that you can use any music to worship God with, which God doesn't accept the wrong music. So I started listening to this when I purchased it about probably a month ago, I guess, when I was looking for something to use here. And I can tell you tonight that except for being a little bit scared to stand up here in the pulpit, I'm used to the podium and the classroom. But that's just the awesome responsibility of standing behind a pulpit. And except for that, the devil left me alone. And I really believe it's because I made the evil depart with this instrumental music. It lasts about 30 minutes if you listen to it all the way. But you will notice a world of difference. Now, after you have listened to this for 90 days, this is all you can listen to. Those of you who have computers, I forgot to give you this. There's a website called Abiding Radio. It's not a biting radio. It's abiding, A-B-I-D-I-N-G, radio.com. If you have a computer at work and can stream it live and listen to it at work, it's all instrumental music. There is an instrumental section click on the instrumental part, you can listen to this. It's very good music. It's right along the same line as this CD. But it's important that you have instrumental music, okay? Let the music speak to you. Music is the language of the emotions. That's what it's been called. But it does speak a message just in the music. Then after the 90 days, you open the box. Go get your music and open the box. This is where it's time to shed some weight. Okay? Listen to each CD or record or tape, depending on what your collection has in it. Based upon what you've listened to for 90 days, judge how it compares and make the decision to throw away the rejects. Okay? Now, if you keep it, you will listen to it again. It's like hiding cookies when you're on a food diet. Okay? You can't hide the cookies and expect not to eat them. You know, who are we trying to kid? You know, everybody, you know, think of the diets you've taken in the past. You will go back and listen to them again. So it's best to get them away. You say, but I spent a lot of money for them. You know, it's just money. But living for God can gain rewards in heaven. That's, I think, worth a lot more than money. Now, I've talked with Pastor, and at the end of this 90 days, we'll have what we call a Freedom from Bondage bonfire. And we used to do this with the rock and roll albums. And there's been stories about how some of something has screamed and it wasn't people when these were on fire. So you know, think what you want. I think it was demons. But this is freedom from bondage of the world's music that's supposed to be Christian. You know, like I said, I never thought I'd have to tell our church that Christian music is worldly. You know, I thought, oh, just attack the rock music people and you know, that's good and evil. Well, now evil's crept in to where good should be, and it's gotten out of hand. But don't be in bondage to the devil's music. I really hope that you would plan to at least try this music diet and put it to the test. I know this is a lot of information in a short period of time, but if you like to get the message on CD and listen to it again, you know, it will be a benefit to your home. But I hope that this has helped and that we can all get freedom from the bondage of the world and try to live a spiritual life, Pastor.
Give an opportunity, though, first, before we dismiss. Just going to have the piano play through a verse of invitation. Maybe God's already spoken to your heart about the type of music we allow in our lives and in our homes. And if God has done that, I just encourage you to come to an altar tonight and just do business with the Lord. Father, I pray that you just take this invitation now. Lord, I thank you for the message.